What I want to minister today is going to be in the book of Hebrews. And I think it's critical for our time that hope is the anchor to our soul. You know, there's a lot of people in the world right now, and I was there at one time, we all were, that I was hopeless. I'd heard the scriptures, and I was in fear of God because I didn't have the fear of God. And every time I'd see a moon setting where it was kind of blood red, I remember all those preachers talking about the sun's going to be dark and then the moon's going to turn to blood. You better get right, turn or burn. It was always the fear and wrath of God. And it never drew me to God. It kind of always pushed me away because I had sin. But then I heard some good news that God is love. And I'm not saying I didn't hear some good reports through my years, but never something that made me hungry. Because fear don't make you hungry. Or torment don't make you hungry. Man, if I know if I'm going to go get wrath, I'm going to stay as far away as I can. That yearning, that there was something on the inside, and it was God's love, knowing that I had some wrong teaching, but He always was coming, you know, there was something on the inside that was still drawing me. But finally, Paul said, finally, my brother, finally, I heard the truth. Had some good people come around me that had some power in their life. That what actually this word said, they believed it and it was making a change. It was working a change in them. And see, that's what's going to change people, is the power. It takes power to change. Not just repetition. It takes power. I like Jack, you know, and you know, he's going to minister to these men in the prisons through AA. You know, but he knows something better. I don't confess, and I'm sure he's going to witness the difference. I don't confess to be something that I ain't. You know, once you get born again and saved, whether you're alcohol, hooked on drug, or just a sinner, I'm not a sinner anymore. I was a sinner, but I've been saved by grace. So I don't confess to be something I'm not. Christ has saved me and delivered me. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. Amen. I'm not a sinner anymore. That's not a part of my nature. And see, that's what alcoholics, if they're stuck on that, they got to hear some good news that I'm not an alcoholic. All right. I'm not under that yoke of bondage anymore. Yeah. If Christ sets you free, I'm free. Yeah, I still got bills to pay, but I'm not in debt like I used to be. 17 years ago, I used to be in debt. Debt. Credit card debt. But then I heard some good news. I don't have to be in debt anymore. That's what the Bible said. Owe your debtors nothing but to love them. I said, okay. And I called for help. I said, I owe y'all a lot of money, but I need some help. I can't pay all this at one time. And I come underneath a debt consolidation. They helped me out. And little by little, we got out of that debt. And we learned to give to God. Now, it didn't happen overnight. Now, I'm not saying God can't work miracles. He's still a miracle worker. But He wasn't one to put me in that debt. I was. Me and my wife together, but I was the main contributor to debt. And look at our nation. They need the wisdom of God. You want to get out of debt? Help people. Don't put them under a yoke of bondage. Don't call good evil and evil good. Tell them the truth. That's what the world needs to hear. That's what we got to hear. That's where your hope comes from. It comes from the truth of God's word. And that's where we're going. I got a little intro, but I think that was it right there. Hebrews 6:19 says, "The hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." I'm going to give you a Bible definition of hope. When I pray, I'm not a hoping and a praying. I'm going to get results. That's wishing. That's wish-washy. That's not hope. True Bible hope is a confident expectation. Remember I told you last week that my wife was pregnant with a job. Lewis, y'all wasn't here last Sunday, so y'all had to buy the tape or go back and listen to the tape on that one. But I sprung that on them all at the end. I got four kids, but I said, my wife is pregnant. And Ruthie looked at my wife and I said, she's pregnant with a job. She's got hope. And she's not hopeless. She doesn't have a job right now. She's looking because the one she had was really taken from her which wasn't, we know it wasn't done right. And it was from a Christian organization. But we forgave them. We said, she's getting a promotion. Now she's pregnant and she's in the process. We don't want to have a preemie. Or we don't want to have a late term. We want that child at the right season. And God knows his name. Yes, increase. His name is increase. Let's put a name on that child. Increase. I got hope in increase. That he's going to increase her. And like I talked with Sharon this morning, it's going to be the place where she's going to be fulfilled in the calling that God has put on the inside of her. I don't want just any job. I want the right job where I'm helping others, and in the process, they pay me to do it. In other words, you can say, man, they're going to pay me to do this? Man, that's awesome. See, that's the job we all need. That's where God wants us to be. And you can have confident expectation. This is what hope is defined in the Bible. This hope, soul defined, is this. In the Greek, is psyche. Anybody been to a psychologist? That ain't what we call them a psychologist, but the root word is psyche. Because they deal with your mind and your emotions. Your will, psyche. It describes our will and our emotions. So let me read it this way. Hebrews 6:19, like this. This confident expectation we have as an anchor of our mind, our will, and our emotions, be both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that which within the veil. And I like what the contemporary version reads it this way. This hope, this confident expectation, is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls, for our mind, for our will, for our emotions. In fact, hope, this confident expectation, reaches behind the curtain, reaches behind the curtain and into the most holy place. Come on now, get a picture of this. This confident expectation has boldness. It reaches behind the curtain. See, religion always wants to keep you behind the curtain. But when Christ came in, he tore that veil. He opened the veil. He revealed the holy place. He revealed God to us. Now, no longer do we stay behind the curtain. We reach behind the curtain. That's what Bible hope gives you. Jesus said, the violent, we got to take it before us. Take that curtain and get behind the curtain. Get out of my way, religion, devil. This is mine. Grab hold of the promises of God. Grab the horns of that altar, the anointing where the power comes out, the promises of God. Hallelujah. Jesus has gone there ahead of us, and he is our high priest, not me, forever. Forever. You want some hope? You want some confident expectation? Your hope has got to be in Jesus. In him, Paul said, I move and I have my being. I'm not moved by circumstances. I'm not moved by shipwrecks. I'm not moved by snakes, by vipers that bite me on the hand when I'm in the perfect will of God. I like that. This hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, it reaches behind the veil, reaches behind that curtain, and grabs a hold of Jesus, grabs a hold of his feet, and then he touches us. He says, arise, my son, arise, for the place you're standing is holy ground. But no longer do you have to be down here. Arise, stand, because I'm standing in that holy. Jesus is there. He's went before and stood the persecution. He stood for the sin, for the disease, and was ridiculed and spit upon for us. And he stood that, stood steadfast, because he saw a better day. He saw us in a better way. And he became sin so that we could be forgiven. Hallelujah. That's hope, my brother. That's hope, sister. I didn't used to have that, but I saw it one day when he touched me and I experienced his power that changed me. See, true Bible hope, it'll change you. It'll give you expectation and believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible. Amen? That's what I'm hungry for. The promises of God. I read this in Jesse's letter he sent. It's either August or September. You could probably go online and get it, Jesse Duplantis. But he says it this way. The promises of God are undefeatable. The promises of God are undefeatable. God can't lie. His word, His promises are sure, steadfast, undefeatable. That's where we need to be reaching. Reaching for that hope, that promise, because it's undefeatable. I shall not be defeated, and I will not quit. Will not quit. Let me go on here a little bit. A man by the name of Abram, eventually was called Abraham, the father of our faith. He had something called hope. Where did Abraham get that? Wait a minute, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Or am I? Let's go to Hebrews. We're right there. Let's go look at verses chapter 6. Stay there and go to verses 9. I'm going to read with me here. I'm going to read verses 9 through 20. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Paul's still speaking here. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Say, accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. He's not going to forget that. Which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Until what end? Until Jesus returns. Remember the message we talked about? We stay in faith until. We stand on this promise until. That's the end of it, period. Until we see that promise manifest. Whether it comes before Jesus comes back or we stand fast until He comes. We stand. Because we know the truth. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and what else? Patience. Inherit the promises. That's our part. Faith and patience. Patience, I told y'all before, it ain't sitting around doing this, twiddling my thumbs. I like the definition Andrew Womack gives it. Faith, patience is faith prolonged over a certain amount of time. It's just prolonged faith. You're just believing, because that means you're doing something. Faith is an action word. It does something. It quotes the word. It confesses the word. I shall not be defeated, but I shall conquer this in Jesus' name. It's saying something. It's doing something. It's not just sitting by. For when God made a promise to Abraham, and He did make a promise, amen? Because God could swear by no one greater, He swore by Himself. Say, thank you, Jesus. He sealed it with His own word. In other words, He made a covenant with His own self. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after He had patiently endured, steadfast, obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutable of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of what? Hope. Lay hold of it. Hope. To lay hold of the hope that is set before us. In other words, reach behind the curtain and hang on to that hope. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Be sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. He ran the race. I love to put grace, the forerunner. Grace, God's race that Jesus ran. Grace is God's part. Everything, the promises have been given to me freely. But I got to trust in that. I got to show up. Amen. I got to show up. Hold that thought. Where did Abraham get his hope? This confident expectations. Well, it's Hebrews 6, 9 through 20. What we just read now, Go to the book of beginnings. Go to Genesis. Chapter 12. What was this promise Paul was referring to us in verse 13? Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said, past tense, what's He said to you? Hello? What's He said to you? Can He lie? Has He promised you something? If He said it, He'll do it. The Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. He tell you to get out of your country? Get out of your country. I'm not telling you that. I want you to stay here. Stay here and hear the word. But if God says, get out of your job, get out of your comfort zone, get out of your car, get out of that airplane, it's going to crash. Well, why couldn't God deliver me in the crash? Well, do what God says. Do what God says. Paul, the boat, that ship that he was on, the whole ship was destroyed, but he said, Paul, you can't lose. One of these men cannot get out of this ship. If they do, if they listen to me, all of them will be saved. But the boat was destroyed, but all of them were alive. Better to put your confidence in the Lord than in man, right? Don't trust in what man has. Trust in what God is. Get out of your country, Abraham, from your family. That's hard. And from your father's house to a land I will show you. Did he show him the land? And said, here's this great house I'm going to take you to, Abram. I'm going to show you the house, and here's all the cows and the cattle, and now here's all the gold. No, he said, to a land I will show you after you get out of your country and get away from your family. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, Brenda. That's what you did. See, you'll be a blessing. You bless somebody because God blessed you. And I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Where did Abraham get his hope? The promises of God. The hope he got it from is the blessing of the Lord. That's the promise. That's where your hope starts, is in the Word of God. The promise is the blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow. See, he likes to accompany salvation. Once I get saved, that ain't it. Now the Lord wants to bless me so that I can bless others. See, that's an accompany salvation. Not only has he saved me from hell, but he's put me in a wealthy place so I can keep it all to myself. No. So I can help others. See, that's the world. They want to get all you can, sit on your can, right? Get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. That's one of Andrew Womack's famous statements. That's what a lot of wolves in sheep clothing want to do, too. They call themselves pastors or teachers, but they're just trying to tickle your ear so they can get you money. God wants your heart so that he can establish his covenant of peace on the earth and onto your children and children's children. Peace. When I lay down at night, if you've done no man wrong, I can lay down in peace. Paul said, I've wronged no man. He killed a lot of church people. But he found grace. He found power to change. And he was forgiven. It took him 3.5 years probably communion with the Holy Spirit and Jesus in the wilderness to know that he was forgiven. Man, to him that is given, much is required. I mean, Paul had a lot to be forgiven of. I'm sure that was hard for him to, man, Lord, I did this to Stephen, and Lord, I did this to this. Jesus said, Paul, whose side are you on now? Whose side are you on now? You're on our side. God spoke that to Moses at one time. Those that were accusing Moses of not treating the people right, to stand this day over here or over here. The ground swallowed the ones up that wasn't on the Lord's side. I don't want to be on that side. Paul got on the right side, amen? The side of hope, the side of blessing, yes. Prosperity. He got to take it to the devil. cast out devils. He started working for Jesus, continuing that work. The promise was the blessing of the Lord. And notice, Abraham was required to do something before the promise came. What did he have to do? He had to obey what God had told him to do. Amen. Can you even get a revelation of what's happening in our world right now? He had to obey. We have to obey what God says to do. Amen. Even if it trumps our laws. Well, if it's not God's law, it's not my law. I'm not telling you to go out here and go do crazy things, but I'm to obey God. And we're going to get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't have to carry a picket sign. I carry the righteousness of God on the inside of me. This is who I am, and I shall not be denied, and I will not deny Him. Amen? I honor Him, and I honor His Word. This is what the church has got to stand for. The love of God, and we're talking about the promises of God, that's where my hope is. That's where my confident expectation is in what God has said. And He's not going to change because of me or you. If He said it, it's a covenant, right? The love of God is unconditional. We all agree on that, right? Amen. But His promises are conditional. You do this, you get this. Even if we don't obey Him, He still loves us. His love is unconditional. Nothing I can do to earn it. Nothing I can do to lose it. It's unconditional. Jesus died for me and forever lives for me. He's cheering us on, interceding for us. But we still have to do it His way to receive the benefits of the promises of God. And if we miss it, confess it. Just, Lord, I messed it right here. And go on. You can go on in that love and that grace. It doesn't give us a license to sin, but His grace frees me from sin, that bondage that I'm going to mess up. You need to know that. Love is unconditional, but His promises are conditional. Jesus said, let's go back to the New Covenant. Now, John, go to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. I'm going to kind of speed this up a little bit. Hope, confident expectation is the anchor of my will, my mind, and my emotions. I'm just going to promote Andrew today. He's got a teaching titled Harnessing Your Emotions. How do you know so much about this man? Because I've read it. I've heard it. Because it's truth. It's Bible truth and it's good teachings. And it's changed my life. Insanity, the definition, somebody tell me, is doing the same thing and expecting different results. I don't want that. That's the world's way. Well, it ain't working. I'll see if somebody else is doing it the way I'm doing it, see if, how they're doing. No, if you're doing something and it ain't getting no results, change. Yeah. You're doing it wrong. Don't keep doing it over and over again. Man, look at somebody. Look, it's working in somebody's life. What are you doing to do this? And how's this working in your life? I'm glad you asked. Sit down here and let me tell you about Jesus. Let's have a Jesus come to meeting. John chapter 8. Talking about hope. Verses 31 through 32. Jesus said to those Jews, not to those who were ridiculing Him. He says, those Jews who believed in Him. They believed in what He was preaching. Jesus said, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. You need to underline that word know if you don't have it underlined. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth by itself is not going to set you free. It's the truth you fall in love with. It's the truth you get behind the curtain and fall in and get a hold of. It's going to set you. It's that hope. It's the word of God. It's Jesus. He said this, and you get a hold of that. And I don't care what so-and-so says. I don't care what my family said. Because I got to get away from them. I got to love Jesus more than I love my mother, my brother, my sister. And I got to do what He says. In doing that, I can help my brother. And I can help my mother. And I can help my sister. Because I'm going to have His hope and His promise to do the right thing. And that's what he was saying to Abraham. Abraham's family was idol worshipers. They were caught up in religions and not in God. And God saw, you've got to get away from the old before you can get into the new. Can't put this new wine into old bottles. You've got to have a new bottle. You've got to have a new covenant, a new God. The only God, the true God, and His Son Jesus. Amen. He's one God in three. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All in one. That's the God we believe in. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word and you're my disciples, those that are disciplined, they do what I say. And indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if we're going to stay free, like Paul talked about, this liberty, if we're going to stay free in this world that we're in right now, in this world system, we're going to have to be ready to stand our ground no matter what. What's that old, come hell or high water? We're going to stand our ground in Jesus' name. Because I know, we got to know in whom we have believed. If it happened in Paul's day, it's no different. It's happening in our day. They're trading the truth for a lie and calling it the truth. But they got to know the truth. I know him. That ain't truth. We'll know the truth, and that's going to set us free. I remind you of what the Apostle Peter said. Flip on over here in the book of Acts. We're living in the book of Acts is still being written, my brother. You could actually call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Acts of the church that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 4. And this is after Peter had a transformation. He didn't have a rooster crowing at him. He had the Holy Ghost and power in him. Amen? He was on the inside now. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. There's a song on that, I believe. Where am I going? What'd I say? Acts chapter 4. I get happy up here. Acts 4, 13, 21. Now when these are the people that saw Peter in a different light now. This ain't the same Peter they saw before. It says, now when they saw the boldness, say boldness. Boldness. Hope, Bible hope gives you boldness. Of Peter and John, and perceived, they saw something. They were uneducated. Don't matter about your high school education. My kids are going to college, but I didn't make it there. God's no respecter of persons. Boldness is no respecter of persons. Boldness is of God and hope and His promises. They perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. And they realized, come on, help me now. Who had they been with? Jesus. It don't matter how dumb you are, or it don't matter how smart you are. Hang around with Jesus and people will recognize you. They'll recognize you because you'll have power in your life. You'll say, sister, I thought you was battling some type of sickness. Yeah, but Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Won't you come to church? He'll heal you too. Or won't you just get born again right here, right now? You don't even have to come to church. I am the church. I'm a walking church. That's who you are. It's who we are. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. The hope of glory inside you and me. The promises of God that can be seen. Power. Peter had power. They marveled at Peter and John. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them. This is going to happen in our day. It's not been happening. I'm saying it's been happening, but it's going to be happening more. The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to speak as you pray for them. And they're going to jump up praising God. I was blind, but now I see. And people are going to be saying, man, this was such and such. I worked with that lady. They're going to see Jesus. They're going to see the glory of Jesus. Touch people. Your shadow is going to start touching people. Walking in the glory. Walking in His anointing. Walking in His boldness and power. Believe it and expect it. You'll turn around and say, I know what this is. This is the Holy Ghost. Rise up, my sister. Here, do you know Jesus? See, they were something that got healed before they got saved. Yes. Let God work it the way He wants to. Yes. Don't give them all these rules and regulations. Give them Jesus. That's right. Say yes to Jesus. Man, he's got all you need. And then some. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Shut the mouth of the devil. Shut him up. But when they had commanded them, here we go. When they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? Man, there's been a notable miracle. But they're not in our group. They're not in our church. They're not in our denomination. We can't have this happening in our town. They'll take all of our money. They'll take all of our people. What are we going to do? I'm paraphrasing here. But so that it spreads no further, I'll tell you what, this is what we're going to do. Among this people, let's threaten them. Let's persecute them a little bit. That from now on, they can speak no more about this. Didn't even want to say his name. This name that they're speaking of. His name. They called him his name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But, here's a good but in the Bible. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of who? God. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, and I'd say no. I know. Paul knew something. Peter and John knew something. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people of the crowd, since they all glorified God for what God had done, not what Peter and John done. See, they glorified God and praised God because if they started worshiping Peter and John, John would tell them, and Peter would have said, hey, it's Jesus. It's by Jesus this man stands here healed. Glorify him. But that ain't what happened. I'd like to read on down here in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. See, I know Pastor Lewis and his wife, I know their company they hang around with. All this happened, they persecuted them. They went back to their own company, to their own church, and reported all the chief priests and elders what they had said to them. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. They didn't go to the politicians. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. But we don't have to get on our horses and ride up to Capitol Hill and protest. We go to God in prayer. We go to the war room. If you haven't seen the movie, go see it. Amen. Go to God in prayer. Amen. And they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You created the politicians. You created all this, these people up here that say they know you and they don't. See, they're going to God. They're making their request unto God. And he hears. He has ears to hear. He's not like a dumb idol. He is God. Who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They're saying, Lord God, they've done it to you, they've done it to your son, and they're doing it to us. But we're going to praise you, we're going to worship you, and we're going to honor you. We need some help, Lord. And what did they pray? For truly against your servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand purposed determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. In other words, they said, no longer can you preach in the name of Jesus. They said, Lord, give us boldness to preach the name of Jesus with power and stretch forth your hand to heal so they'll see more of it. They knew the truth. They said, we ain't listening to man. We're doing what Jesus said. We're doing what God says. We're doing what Jesus, he was our teacher. And he said, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Be ready. But be encouraged, be strong, like he said this morning. I'm sending you another comforter. He's going to be with you till I come back. Amen. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your power. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be your helper till I come back. And I'm going to settle the score, Jesus said. With the words of his mouth, he's going to send forth his word. And he's going to destroy his enemies. Amen. Grace came. When he comes back again, it's going to be judgment for those that are standing against his Father. Amen. But we got hope. Man, I got some hope. I'm feeling it up here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. What we compromise to keep, somebody tell me, we're going to lose. What we compromise, if we compromise His Word, we're going to lose that battle. There can be no compromise to this Word, this standard. Like me and Kelsey were talking on the way this morning. They want to change this standard. This is what this country was founded on. This is why they left Great Britain, to get away from the tyranny of what we can't do. They wanted to freely worship God and not be told how to. And this is what this nation was founded on, and this is what we're going to stand fast and proclaim like the Statue of Liberty. Lord, fill us with all that we may speak Your Word with all boldness. But we got to know something. We got to know His promises. We got to know the promises, just like a lawyer knows the law. We got to know, and all it takes is to know Him. But we got to spend some time with Him to know Him, right? Amen. And I'm going to finish right here what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 25 through 28. Matthew 16, 25 through 28. I sense there's some hope being stirred up this morning out here. Some boldness. Verse 24, 16, 24. Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will" what? Lose it. That's not the end of the story. But whoever loses his life for My sake, and that life right there, Jesus is talking about your psyche. What we talked about, the hope is the anchor, confident expectation to my mind, will, and emotions. All we got to do is we got to change this stinking thinking. We got to think like God thinks, like Jesus. In other words, if we will, Lord, I need Your mind on this situation. I need Your wisdom. Lord, what would You say? What would You do? That's my psyche. I got to deny what I've been trained by the world, this world system, and that's just a natural system we're born into. But once I get born from above, get born again, I'm not in this world, I'm up here. I'm not of this world, I'm in the kingdom of God. That's the mind that we've got to operate in and walk in down here. We got to lose that old mind we used to have. We got to defrag it and delete it. Y'all know what defrag and delete means? Got somebody back here. Delete it. Defrag means to put all this stuff in a godly order. Defrag it. Where I can get to it real accessible, real quick. You don't have to memorize this word. You got to know this word. Memorization is good, but knowing it, you learn it. If you know something, you learn it. If you learn it, help me out. James says, you do it. I'm not a knower. I'm a knower and I'm a doer. I'm not a memorizer. I'm not a thinker, and I ain't gonna go that way. I gotta close this out here. Thank you, Jesus. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for the sake of the gospel will find it. We talked about, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father, with angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say to you, there will be some standing here in this day which shall not taste of death till they see the man coming, see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. There's going to be some that no matter what we say or what we do or what we preach, they won't believe. But not all of them. There's a remnant. There's a broad gate and there's a narrow gate. Jesus is the door. I'm going to that gate. I'm in that gate. I'm going to that gate. But we got to hold steadfast the hope that is the anchor to our soul. I want you to stand with me this morning. There's a song I want us to sing this morning. And as we sing, if you need prayer, personal prayer, I want you to come down and we'll pray with you. The song, you're familiar with it. It talks about, my life is in You, Lord. My life is in You. But it also says, my hope is in You, Lord. My hope is in You. sing along with me. That's where your hope is. That's where your promises are. They're in God.